Welcome to Navigating Love and Immigration. I'm your host, Megan Pastrana. Falling in love is exciting. Maintaining a healthy relationship takes work. And when you're going through an immigration process, you are faced with unique challenges. This podcast is for anyone in a cross-cultural relationship who finds themselves lost in the labyrinth of U.S. immigration. We will interview relationship experts, explore the stories of real couples, and provide important tips on starting the next chapter of your lives together. Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Navigating Love and Immigration. I'm your host, attorney Megan Pastrana. And so for today's episode, I'd like to talk with all of you about immigration waivers. And that is why I decided to call this show, Please Forgive Me, because waivers in the world of immigration are all about asking immigration for forgiveness for something in your immigration history, for a past act. And I want to back up and give you a 30,000-foot view of what immigration waivers are. And in today's episode, we will talk about what immigration waivers are, what are the most common types of waivers, what does that process look like, what you should be aware of, and really what you should do if you think that you may be subject to one of these issues, or if you have one of these issues in your immigration history and are required to file a waiver. So we'll really just dive into immigration waivers here today. And that's really what our firm, Immigration for Couples, we're focusing on for the month of March. We're all about education and making the labyrinth of the immigration process as clear as you possibly can with something as complex as immigration. And so all of March, we will be talking about different aspects of immigration waivers on our Facebook Live, Immigration for Couples, and on our YouTube channel. But today's podcast episode is going to be completely dedicated to waivers. So you might be asking, what is an immigration waiver? And why would I need one? What should I know about immigration waivers? So to start with, it's important to understand that immigration laws they're housed in the Immigration and Nationality Act. That's where all of our immigration laws are. And within those laws, there is a really long list of problems that a person could have in his or her past. And some of these problems have a solution, i.e. a waiver. So there might be some things in your immigration history that if you've done, they're not good, but you can ask for a waiver of forgiveness. And those are called grounds of inadmissibility. So that long list is called the grounds of inadmissibility, things that make you inadmissible to be able to receive your green card. So that leads me into talking about permanent bars, temporary bars, and then things that are automatically forgiven. And again, I know this is a lot of legal jargon, and so I'm going to try to break it down into layman's terms, or to make it, like I said, as clear as you can possibly make immigration. A permanent bar, just as it sounds, is permanent in nature. It means that it doesn't have a solution, that there isn't forgiveness. Now, in immigration, there's always, and in law, there's an exception to an exception to an exception. So I am speaking generally, but permanent bars, for the most part, are, as they sound, permanent. That means a person would not be eligible to receive their green card. Two really common examples that will help to make it more clear. The first example is something called a false claim to citizenship. So if someone who is not a U.S. citizen claims to be a U.S. citizen, maybe that's in the context of work, or if they were to try to register to vote, for example, then that would be a false claim to citizenship. And sadly, there was a time where the driver's license offices, the driver's branches, part of getting your driver's license was registering you to vote. So sometimes that false claim to citizenship can be something that happened unwittingly, that it wasn't intentional. But I digress, and I love to nerd out on immigration. I'm going into the weeds there a little bit. But to be clear, a person who says that they're a U.S. citizen and they aren't, that's a false claim to citizenship, and that's a permanent bar. Another really important permanent bar to be aware of is marriage fraud. So if you filed an immigration case with someone and you weren't really in love with them and you were doing it to get your green card, that's marriage fraud. That has a permanent bar. That means even if you were to later fall in love with someone and get married and want to be able to stay here, if you are found by immigration to have committed marriage fraud, that has a permanent bar. There isn't a way to ask for forgiveness. So that's the permanent bar that you should be aware of. There are bars that are more temporary in nature, and those are typically the types of cases that would have a waiver of forgiveness. So I'll go through some examples in more detail here in a moment, but if you were to have stayed in the United States without documents, if you were here for a period of time, if you committed fraud, those will have an option for forgiveness through a waiver. So those are the temporary bars. And then there are aspects of immigration law where we have exceptions. If a person may have done something, but they meet certain exceptions, then they wouldn't actually have to file a waiver. And so a really common one, actually I'll give you two, in the context of adjustment of status. So when a person is already here in the US and they fall in love and get married and go through a green card process here in the US called adjustment of status, if that person had overstayed their tourist visa and they were here for a period of time without documents, or if that person worked without documents, those are not good things. Those are not lawful things to do. You're not supposed to overstay your tourist visa. You're not supposed to work without authorization. But even if you were to do those things, if you're married to a U.S. citizen and going through the adjustment of status process, those are things that can be automatically forgiven. So it's a problem, but it doesn't need a waiver. I know that was a ton of information, so I'll do a little recap. So there's permanent bars. Those do not have forgiveness. There are temporary bars. Those have a solution through a waiver. And then there are certain things that are problems in immigration, but if you meet certain exceptions, it will be forgiven without having to go through a formal waiver process. All right. So let's move on to some of the most common types of immigration waivers. And I have my list because there are a lot, and I'm doing the main ones, and I don't want to forget to tell you any important ones. The very first, most common one is a 3- and 10-year bar, a provisional waiver. So anyone who has been in the United States, so if a person enters the United States without documents and they stay here without documents for more than 180 days, that's a 3-year bar. And if they're here for more than a year, that is a 10-year bar. That would be one of those temporary bars that I had referenced and talked about earlier. There is a solution for those issues, and that's something called a provisional waiver. And so the provisional waiver process is going through that process, if you have a 3- or 10-year bar, and asking for forgiveness. And by getting that waiver approved, you wouldn't have to wait 3 or 10 years to receive a green card. That's what those bars are. When they say 3 years or 10 years, it means you'd have to wait that long to be able to get your green card. But you can overcome that and not have to wait if you file a waiver of forgiveness. So the next one I have on my list is fraud and misrepresentation. That's very serious. And a lot of times, individuals might not realize that their actions were fraud and misrepresentation. So a very common example for fraud and misrepresentation is that if you filed your tourist visa application and you came to the United States on a tourist visa with the intention to stay here and get married and file for your green card, that's not lawful in the world of immigration. You can't come on a tourist visa with that intention to get married and stay and live, because a tourist visa, by its very nature, is something temporary, that you're coming for a short visit and then you will be leaving. So if you were to have told immigration on your tourist visa application and proof for your tourist visa application that you were just coming to visit, but that wasn't your intention, that's fraud. Other common examples of fraud and misrepresentation, a lot of them have to do with tourist visa applications, because sadly, there are a lot of agencies being the key word, and organizations and companies and other countries that claim to be able to help you get your tourist visa and that they guarantee approval, but they're not immigration attorneys. They don't understand immigration. And I see it all the time. It's heartbreaking, really. These companies, these places promise you these things and then they lie. They'll tell you, let's lie on your application. Let's not tell immigration. Or let's tell immigration that you are married and that you have connections to your home country as proof that you'll be returning. And that's not the truth. Just so you can, hopefully, maybe is that what the agency will tell you, get your tourist visa approved. But that is a lie. So that's fraud and misrepresentation, and that can cause you serious problems in the future. So that is one of the other grounds of inadmissibility, is fraud and misrepresentation. And so that would need a waiver if that were in your immigration history. And then I'll quickly go over the others. There's a waiver for vaccine requirements. If you have religious and moral objections to vaccines, then you would go through a waiver process to waive the requirements for you to have to get the vaccines. And so that's kind of a unique one that doesn't really fall in line with the others. There is a ground of inadmissibility as it relates to something called alien smuggling. So if you were to come to the United States, if you were to help someone enter the United States without documents, typically this happens in the context of a parent bringing a child, their own child, that's considered alien smuggling. And then there's something called crimes involving moral turpitude. It's a mouthful. And it's also a very subjective area of immigration law. It's defined as any actions that shocks the public conscience. And criminal law, it varies state by state. Each state has their own criminal code and their own criminal law system. What might be considered a crime involving moral turpitude in one state could be different in another. And it's really up to immigration to decide if it's something that shocks the conscience. But I will give you an example. Theft is a really common one. And also drug use, having drugs or selling drugs, and then theft, if there was some theft that happened in the past. So that could rise to the level of a crime involving moral turpitude. There's a whole list of crimes that are considered crimes involving moral turpitude. But to be clear and concise, certain crimes that are serious will rise to that level of crime involving moral turpitude, and you would need a waiver. And last, prostitution is another one that requires a waiver. That's another ground of inadmissibility. I'm giving you the highlights. Like I said, that very long list of grounds of inadmissibility is very long. And so those are some of the main examples. So all of those things would need a waiver. So what is a waiver? And what is the waiver process, rather? That's really probably your next question. So the waiver process is where a person has to file this application with evidence. Typically, the standard to get a waiver of forgiveness approved is not just writing a letter to immigration and saying, please forgive me, I'm really sorry I did this thing. I know I shouldn't have. I understand it's against the law. Please forgive me. That's not a waiver. That's a little tiny piece of it of asking for forgiveness. But typically, for most waivers, all of them have a little bit of a different requirement. But in general, the requirement is that you have to show something called extreme hardship, and not extreme hardship to you as the immigrant, but extreme hardship to your intended to be, so your fiance, or if you're already married, to your spouse. So it's your U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident spouse or fiance that would need to be the one that is suffering that level of extreme hardship for you to have that waiver approved. So typically, and what we do here at Immigration for Couples is we will have a very detailed appointment with our clients, both the immigrant and the petitioner. And we really just dive into their personal lives and talk about everything, their history, their present, if there's any health concerns. We look at if the petitioner had any prior health issues or current health issues, if there was, hopefully not, but if there's a diagnosis of cancer, for example, or maybe they have a chronic condition, those are the types of things that we look for extreme hardship. Immigration defines extreme hardship not as just the being separated or not being able to live in the same country. And they also don't look at financial hardship is rising to that level of extreme hardship. It has to be something more. And I know a lot of couples tell me, but our lives are really, they're great. They're really normal. I don't have anything super crazy or severe that would form the basis of this extreme hardship. But the reality is part of the human experience is that we all go through ups and downs and all kinds of things in life. And so our job as immigration attorneys and as your advocates is to really do a deep dive into your past and your present and how your future would be impacted if your fiance or spouse can't receive a green card and can't live in the U.S. And we always find something. There's always something, because that's just, like I said, part of being human. There are hardships. But that the medical example is just one of many sometimes career considerations. Perhaps if you have this established career, maybe you're a doctor or maybe you're a financial advisor. There's so many different careers that you will work many, many years on being able to build up your foundation, your experience to be able to have your career. And this would allow you to be able to file a waiver of extreme hardship. So career considerations is another basis to be able to rise to that level of extreme hardship that immigration is looking for to be able to file that waiver. But there's many others. And like I said, it's about really just taking a look at your life and identifying what are areas of extreme hardship that you would suffer as the petitioner if your spouse or fiance can't stay here in the U.S., can't have their green card and live with you and have a life with you, right? So extreme hardship is very complex. And the part that makes it most complex is that waiver applications are discretionary. So what it means for a waiver application to be discretionary is that the immigration officer, whoever is reviewing your application, he or she is the one that is going to look at all of that evidence and decide whether or not he or she thinks that your evidence, your situation, the facts of your case rise to that level of extreme hardship. So that's the piece on waiver applications that can make them even more complex to navigate because you are having to prove something to an immigration officer. It's similar. It's similar actually to having to prove your love is real, but it is a much higher standard. It's a much more difficult to do, but not impossible. But if you do convince this immigration officer, hey, I would suffer extreme hardship, then if they were to approve that waiver application, that means that your fiance or spouse is forgiven and is then able to complete the process to receive the green card. And a lot of couples are surprised to know that they can file a waiver application even if they're only engaged and not yet married. And so that process looks like going to your immigration interview. So if you're going through a spouse visa or a fiance visa process, it means that you would be going to your immigration interview knowing that you're going to get a denial because you have one of these issues in your immigration history. So of course, you'll want to be honest on your application that you submit for your fiance or spouse visa about the problems that you have in your immigration history. And then when you go to your interview, the officer will say, yes, I agree with you. That's a problem. You shouldn't have done X, Y, and Z. You're going to need a waiver. And then they will give you a slip of paper. They'll give you a notification saying we can't approve your case. You need to go and file a waiver. And if you're approved, then we can complete your process to be able to give you the green card. So it's a really simplified overview of the waiver process. But in general, that's really the steps that would happen and would occur. Once you file that waiver application, you file that stateside, it's filed in the United States with USCIS, and an immigration officer looks at it. They can send you a request for evidence, asking for more evidence to give you another chance to prove that you have reached that level of extreme hardship or reached or proven, rather, that you're eligible for the waiver. And so, like I said, once that's approved, then you'd be able to complete the process to receive the green card. So I know that's a lot of information. Waivers are really complex. And again, that was just really a 30,000 foot overview. So you can see really what are some of the problems that a person can have in their background? Is there a way to overcome it? That's how we look at it as immigration attorneys. What's the problem? Is there a way that we can overcome this problem? And if so, what is our strategy based on this couple's particular situation? So if you are needing help or you're wondering if you are needing to file a waiver, maybe you're concerned about something in your immigration history and you're not sure, I invite you on over to our free resource center. We have a resource center at immigrationforcouples.com. There's a ton of information about the different processes that are available to couples and a relationship evidence guide. And then we even talk about waivers in even more detail. So you can kind of research and poke around and learn more. And we also have a weekly Facebook Live, a weekly immigration attorney chat on our Immigration for Couples Facebook page. So I invite you there as well. At Immigration for Couples, we're all about providing education and clarity. That's why I created the Navigating Love and Immigration podcast. That's why we have the free resource center. We know it's overwhelming, but I'm hoping that with today's episode, you have a clearer understanding of what waivers are, whether or not you might need one, and ultimately what that process will look like. please do work with an immigration attorney if you have one of these issues in your immigration history. Waivers, like I said, are very complex. And it always breaks my heart to see a couple come to me and not realize that they needed a waiver or realized it and thought they could try it on their own. And it ultimately caused additional problems for them. I don't want that to happen to you. I'm not just telling you this because I'm an immigration attorney and want to help you. But really, if you have one of these issues in your background, I really encourage you that your next step would be to consult with an immigration attorney and understand what are the issues in your history, immigration history, and what does that strategy look like for you specifically? All right. So thanks for watching. I hope that helped give you clarity. And until next time, take care, everyone.